The Best in Class podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. It's back. Sean Sullivan, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, is here. He has got the top three drafts of 2023. He's doing a little deep dive here on the three clubs that got the most production from their draft classes. And yes, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of them. Best in Class will be back and rolling with a quarterbacks breakdown for the 2024 draft and all the position groups coming up. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody. It's Sean Sullivan live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa, coming to you with Best in Class. Want to tell you that my absence, I really appreciate the emails and the text messages about my podcast. It was really kind. Unfortunately, I lost my brother just recently, and his name was Scott Sullivan. Huge Bucks fan. Obviously, grew up with football just like I did. Leaves behind a wife and children, three children, actually. And I obviously wish him the very best on the other side. And I know I'm going to devote this entire season to Scott Sullivan. So for those of you who have lost family members, my heart goes out to you. I know that he loved the podcast, and I'm going to start this back up and hopefully bring a lot of joy to people who get to listen and enjoy football talk for 30 straight minutes. So speaking of that, let's say hi to the sponsors. Bill Curry Ford, the Giant. The new store is completely open. It is phenomenal. It is getting rave reviews. We are hitting unbelievable numbers. Customer service is through the roof. Please visit us at BillCurryFord.com to see all of our amazing specials. We have March Madness going on right now. We have a lot of amazing specials. The concierge service we've talked about, up to $12,000 off all remaining 2023 vehicles. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Instagram, Facebook, etc. All right, this podcast is going to be devoted to the best GMs for drafting, because I'm going to go through the 2023 best three draft classes postseason. And I was reading an article the other day about on Joe Bucks Fan about how Jason Light said that during the interview at the Combine that he was surprised that the Bucks were picked 15th or 16th in draft rankings. And I have to go with Jason Light on this one. I don't understand it because of the success that Jason Light has had in the draft with starters and obviously free agents, unsigned free agents. I mean, it's been unbelievable how he's gotten undrafted players to play minutes and games for this team. But I'm going to go with my three favorites. And for those of you who listen to Best in Class on a regular basis, you'll understand exactly why that Houston Texans, the Detroit Lions, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are my top three draft classes ending the season in 2023, going into 2024. And I'm using this podcast because my next podcast is going to be a breakdown of QBs. And, you know, that's my favorite podcast of the year. I put a lot of work into quarterbacks. And for those of you who listened to last year and the year before, I've nailed the quarterbacks. I have been unbelievably accurate, and I do put a lot of time into it. Last year, my darling was C.J. Stroud. I wanted Jason Light to trade up for him. I said he was a can't-miss prospect. I was just so enamored with him. His timing on throws, it was unbelievable. And, of course, he was an instant star in the NFL. He was Offensive Rookie of the Year. And we're going to start with Houston. That's going to take us right into Houston. So first round, obviously, Bryce Young went number one overall to Carolina, thank God. I don't understand what everybody's fascination with Bryce Young was. It's like having DeSean Jackson playing quarterback for you. That's the size we're talking about. I don't get it. The fact that he threw all of his passes under 6 yards at Alabama, that the majority of his passes didn't go past 15 yards. And then you had this stud, C.J. Stroud, who just put it on tape and put it on tape, and he was just a machine putting the ball to the outside shoulder on his intermediate 15 to 30 yard throws, and then his accuracy down the field, his composure in the pocket, the fact that he can stand in there like a statue if he wants, or he can move around a little bit, was just unbelievable. So the Houston Texans, that's what we're going to start with. Two-win team, as you know, prior year, they finished, and they went into the playoffs this year with one draft. For a coaching change, one draft, and the next thing you know, they went to the second playoff game. I want you, and all three teams, by the way, the Bucks, the Lions, and the Houston Texans, all my top three drafts, all went to the second round of the playoffs. It's not a coincidence, guys. You build through the draft, not through free agency. You build through the draft, and you develop and you coach these guys. First round pick for Houston Texans was C.J. Stroud. We just talked about him, 63.9% of his passes. almost 64%, threw for 4,000 yards his rookie year, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. He led the NFL with the fewest interceptions. He started all the games for the Houston Texans. He obviously won a playoff game his rookie year. He was named the Offensive Rookie of the Year. He was actually in the conversation for MVP, which is amazing for your rookie year. I can't say enough about C.J. Stroud. He's a star. All right, with their second-round pick, the Houston Texans went out and got Will Anderson, which they traded a first-round draft pick for. So they gave up basically two number one picks for Will Anderson. And he was a defensive end at Alabama. I thought he was a good starter. I didn't think that he was like a Hutch or anything that was going to make an instant impact. He tallied a sack his first game, which was really nice. He ended up with 7 sacks, 22 quarterback hits, and 32 pressures. He had 10 tackles for loss, and he ended up being Defensive Rookie of the Year, which, as you know, I was huge on Sauce Gardner last year. I actually picked him for the All-Pro. He was defensive player. Now Will Anderson. I wasn't as high on Will Anderson just because I think that he's at his ceiling. But as you know, they needed pass rush. And what kind of draft, if your first-round pick is Offensive Rookie of the Year and your second pick in the same draft is Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie Player of the Year, you're doing a terrific job. I mean, you're knocking it out of the ballpark. This is by far the number one class. In the second round, they drafted Juice Scruggs, and he was a center. He was hurt for most of the season. He played the last 6 games and started at center for the Texans, including into the postseason. I think you're going to see him be a starter in the league for a long time. Tank Dell, which was their third-round pick, 165-pound Tank Dell, was an absolute superstar in 11 games. He had 709 yards, 47 passes, and if you guys, for fantasy football owners, you know exactly who Tank Dell is. He was one of the highest producing wide receivers in the season until the 12th game of the season when he went out for the remainder. He's absolutely one of Stroud's favorite targets, and of course, after he got hurt, you saw Nico Collins come up big, and then Noah also, you know, was getting his catches in there. So the first impact, really, you had C.J. Stroud, your starting quarterback, Will Anderson's your starting edge, Drew Scruggs is your starting center, and Tank Dell is your starting wide receiver, and they were just hitting long balls all day long. Those picks are unbelievable. In the 5th round, they picked a linebacker, Toto, out of Alabama. So Henry Tutuatoa, right, played very well. He had 61 tackles, 35 solo tackles, 2 pass defense, and a forced fumble. What I saw with him was as the season went on, you can see that he struggled in pass defense, obviously. And a lot of these linebackers, especially rookies, struggle with their pass defense. And I think you're going to see him grow into a better role. But he was physical. He did tackle well. And we'll see how he goes. And then there's an offensive lineman, Jarrett Patterson, that was their 6th-round pick. He actually started the first 7 games of the season at center until he got hurt. And then Juice came in. So if you look at it, they had depth on the offensive line. They had a linebacker that had an impact, a wide receiver that's unbelievable. He's going to be a star in this league, Tank Dell. Then another starting center, and then their starting edge, and then, of course, their franchise quarterback with C.J. Stroud fell into their lap because the Carolina Panthers did not draft him. Still can't believe that they took Bryce Young. And I'm not saying Bryce Young's not going to be an adequate quarterback, but he's not going to be C.J. Stroud. And it doesn't matter who goes there to coach. It doesn't matter what tools you add around him. But that was Houston's draft postseason breakdown. They had such an unbelievable draft. So congratulations to them. On to the Detroit Lions, who the Bucks lost to in the second round of the playoffs. And the Detroit Lions were up 21-7 to go to the Super Bowl and lost to the 49ers. I mean, that game just broke my heart because, you know, as you know, I root for underdogs. And the Lions had such a long history of not doing well. It was just so nice to see them coming in. And then when you see them draft players, and just like Jason Light, they stated their board, they draft who they want to draft, and then they get criticized for it. It's just hilarious to me how they get criticized. They stay on their board, and then these players become amazing players, and then everybody's like, oh yeah, Detroit's amazing. They draft so well. You should see the draft grades. And I don't believe in draft grades. I believe in starts. I want to see the contributions of a player in the season. But I will tell you this. Everybody was down on the Detroit Lions after this draft. And let me just tell you, their first 4 picks in the draft all started for them, all were amazing, and have like superstar careers ahead of them. I can't believe it. It starts with Jahmyr Gibbs. For those of you who listen to Joe Bucks Fan and the Best in Class podcast, Jahmyr Gibbs was on my radar for the Bucks at 19. That's how high I was on Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round. He actually went 12th overall to the Lions. So obviously, they saw the same thing I saw. They saw home run material. This guy changes games. If you watch the Bucs game, he had 114 yards against the Bucs in the playoffs, including pretty much the go-ahead touchdown run where he was untouched. He had 1,261 scrimmage yards, 11 touchdowns, and he was a complete difference maker in the game. For those of you who didn't get a chance to watch Jahmyr Gibbs, please watch his Detroit Lions highlights. They are amazing. He's going to get more touches in this upcoming season, but Jahmyr Gibbs is a star, and it's going to be very similar to how McCaffrey affects the Lions. The 49ers, Jahmyr Gibbs will affect the Lions. In the same round, on the 18th pick, they picked Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell is a linebacker at Iowa, like a throwback linebacker, just a tackle machine throwback, but not very fast. Didn't run well at the combine, not super athletic. He only had 95 tackles, which was second on the team behind Alex Anzalone, by the way, he's Florida Gator. And he also got a couple of sacks, and he was excellent solidifying the run for the Detroit Lions. So, again, you can say what you want about Jack Campbell taking an off-the-ball linebacker at 18 who doesn't run a fast 40, and then all he did was start for the playoff team and go to the second round and really put a physical linebacker style, which is pretty much what the Lions are going for, is this really big physical style. Then you go into the second round, and you draft Sam Laporta out of Iowa. So you get Jack Campbell out of Iowa and Sam Laporta out of Iowa. Sam Laporta was this all-around tight end like Kincaid, who went to the Buffalo Bills, who was like this, could do a little bit of everything really well, but he didn't do anything extremely good. So he was spectacular as a rookie year. He's actually one of the greatest rookie tight ends in NFL history. He also caught 86 balls, which was the rookie tight end record, for 889 yards and 11 touchdowns. If he hadn't missed a couple of games with injury, he would have had 1,000 yards. Sam Laporta is exactly what the Detroit Lions, when they drafted him, they got everything that they were looking for. He's a blocker, a catcher. He makes spectacular catches, especially in the red zone. Around the red zone, 11 touchdowns. Sam Laporta is a future perennial Pro Bowler. He's going to be probably a first-team All-Pro. Congratulations to Sam Laporta. Brian Branch was a guy I loved out of Alabama, and he actually fell to pick 45 in the second round. I thought he was going to be a first-round draft pick. He fell for some reason, and it has to be because, again, they're watching the combine instead of watching tape. The combine is, for me, the combine is so entertaining because I want to see who actually studied for this test, right? I want to see who actually put the work in before they go to the combine. And because every year you see an offensive lineman bench press, you know, 225 like 11 times. And then you see a safety like Brian Branch come in and do it 22 times. It's not about how strong they are. It's about how prepared they are for the biggest test of their life. I want them to be in amazing shape. And again, the combine this year, you see guys not in great shape, and then you see the guys that are in great shape like Brian Branch, and you're like, okay, so he doesn't run the fastest 40. But on tape, if you watch him, he's always where he's supposed to be. And he played a lot of slot corner for the Lions. He racked up 74 tackles, had a sack, and he had 3 interceptions, and he had 13 pass defended. To put this in comparison, the Buccaneers starting corner Davis only had 9 pass defense on the entire year. Brian Branch had 13 at a slot corner position, which is pretty great. He has great nose for the football. He was he doesn't mind getting in there and stopping the run. So between Campbell and Branch, they did an amazing job. And then what did they do? What did the Lions come back and do? They just took a flyer on a QB, Hendon Hooker, out of Tennessee at 68. Doesn't have to contribute. They just signed their quarterback to a new deal. So they're just going to have a developmental quarterback on the roster. Just really smart drafting. They went after players that are clearly Detroit Lion players. Campbell was, he was either going to be like a Viking, a Bear, or a Lion. I mean, that's just, you can, when I'm looking at draft picks, something happens in my head where I can actually see them wearing the uniform of the team that fits their skill level. I don't know what it is, but I can see it where, and I know you guys that watch football too, you see a player and you're like, that guy definitely is a Steeler, right? Or that guy definitely is a Packer. I mean, and you can see that. And the Lions have had this thing where you can see that like Brian Branch and Jack Campbell and Sam Laporta were made to be Detroit Lions. You can just see it. It's pretty amazing. Let's get on to the Buccaneers. You know, the hometown team, obviously my favorite team in the whole world, and I'm definitely not biased when it comes to draft. I'm very critical, I think, of the Buccaneers drafting, and I'm going to praise when praise is due. Jason Light has done an amazing job filling in holes on this team and getting production out of players that I think is amazing. Our first round draft pick, Kalijah Kancey, you know, was a Pittsburgh defensive end. My problem with him was I still feel like he's undersized. He gets pushed around a little bit. If he doesn't have Vita Vea on the other side taking the double teams, he struggles. When Vita Vea is in the game, he dominates. And I'm sure that was Jason Light's plan, being able to pick him where we picked him at 19. If you think about it, it's a steal if you can get a double-digit interior lineman, you know, that can continue to pressure from the middle and also get tackles for loss. So he had 4 sacks in a year, 34 total pressures, which was 3rd amongst the defensive tackles, 6th most amongst rookies. He had 10 tackles for loss, which was 3rd most in the entire league for rookies. But when the playoffs came, he had 1.5 sacks and 11 pressures, 2 tackles for loss. So you could see Kancey, and he was like, you know what, I'm going to show out in the playoffs. Congratulations to him. I think he's going to have a tremendous second year. I think it also helps that he's going to be in the weight room with professional weightlifters, you know, that the NFL does, and which brings us to Cody Mock's conversation. Cody Mock started at offensive guard for the Bucs, and, you know, he started the season, so he got through the whole season. He had an up-and-down year. He had some good games and some bad games, very typical of a rookie offensive guard. My only concern with Cody Mock is how big he can get, how much size he can put on in the offseason, because that's what he really needs. When he went against a very physical defensive player, he got pushed around a lot. And it looks to me like he's a Bill Curry Ford customer, by the way. He's a great guy. His parents raised a good one, right? You can see he's very well-mannered. I can tell you that his body looks like he can put, you know, another 25 pounds of muscle on and still be – you know, and move like he moves. Like, obviously, you know, he moves like a tight end, even though he's a guard. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does in year two. But again, between Kancey and Mock, your first two picks, you have long-term starters. Then they come back and get Yaya Diaby, right out of Louisville. Right? He didn't start the whole season, but he led all rookie defenders with 12 tackles for loss. He also had the 3rd most sacks amongst all rookies at 7.5. Between Kancey and Diaby, that pairing was the best in the NFL. So, and the only concern about Diaby is he ran out of steam in the end, and I think he's got a snap count. I really liked him playing limited snaps. I know Lee's going to murder me because Lee went on this pattern about him not getting enough snaps. I'm not saying to limit his snaps like we did in the first 6 games, 7 games of the season. What I'm saying is there's a difference between playing a full game of snaps and being there for pass rushing downs and second down pass rushing or first round pass rushing, depending on what team we're playing. I feel like there's a snap count for Diaby where it's going to maximize him, and I'm sure the Bucs defense will find it. But here's another starter. So between Kancey, Mock, and Diaby, you have 3 starters. Lavoisier Dennis, who is in a tremendous blitzing linebacker, didn't see much more than special teams for us. He's got a lot of work to do in tackling. I thought he ran extremely well. He runs with great speed. He's got great lateral movement. He can cover tight ends. And he's terrific at blitzing. But tackling, he's not very physical because he plays more like a safety than he does a linebacker when he's trying to tackle. He's got to work on his tackling technique. I think you'll see him get more playing time this year. But, you know, obviously we re-signed Levante David, and Britt probably is most likely going to start in white spot for the remainder of this season. I think you're going to see him get some backup minutes. I know what Jason Light was trying to do with Payne Durham out of Purdue. He was trying to get a Gronk blocker, right? Because our running game was amazing because Gronk, when he was with the Bucs, was having another offensive tackle like on the line of scrimmage. And obviously what Payne Durham doesn't have the hands or the speed of Gronk. That's not what I'm talking about. But he does have the size. He's a very, very big man who can move people. And I think that's what he was trying to do, was we thought Payne was going to really help us in the running game. He only caught 5 passes for 58 yards. It looked like later in the season he would catch 1 or 2 passes a game, and he had that really spectacular catch near the goal line where he showed off that he can sky up and get a ball because he's a very tall player. What I need from him is I need him to just clear a way for Rashard White in this season. I think he really needs to become the blocker that we need and what Jason Light was trying to find in that position. So, again, for your first three picks are starters. You have a possible starter in Savassier Dennis, not going to be this year. Payne Durham is a depth piece for blocking. Cornerback Josh Hayes, which was one of our six-round picks, played on special teams. He did see some action, you know, at defensive back, but he couldn't. You know, obviously, Christian Enzian, which we'll get to later, played more nickel. But Josh Hayes is a special teams player. Trey Palmer, right out of Nebraska, five-star recruit, went to LSU, played behind Jefferson, and transferred to Nebraska. Obviously has a ton of talent. You can see it during the year. His speed was undeniable. 39 passes, 385 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I think he's going to get more playing time this year. I think they're going to develop him more. I think you're going to see Godwin walking at the end of this season, and I think Trey Palmer moves into that slot position that Godwin moved into, where he got more production late in the season. But I think you're going to see Trey Palmer play a very important role in the Bucs moving forward, and I think Bucs are very high on him. So an amazing pick for Jason Light. Christian Enzian was a free agent out of Rutgers, 41 tackles and had 2 interceptions and played the slot. Enzian was a guy that should have been drafted. Jason Light knew that, picked him up, signed him, and he contributed very, very well for the Buccaneers. So I think you're going to see a lot more of him this year. Kayvon Merriweather out of Iowa, another free agent off the street that Jason Light signed, undrafted free agent, had 21 tackles, 1 pass defense. You saw him play some special teams. You saw him get in the backfield when we had some injuries, and you saw him. I thought he played okay. Again, what is an undrafted free agent supposed to bring to your team besides some depth and some special teams play? Somehow Jason Light finds these guys that can get starter minutes and some backup minutes right away. And, you know, one of my favorites, Rakeem Jarrett. I loved him at Maryland. 5-star recruit, had no quarterback when he was in college. He had one game, you know, where he was getting a lot of throws, 60 yards in that game. Other than that, really didn't contribute. A couple of passes here, a couple of third down catches for first down. But the Bucs are very deep at wide receiver. But there's got to be a spot where Rakeem Jarrett, because I just feel like there's some really raw athletic talent that can be really turned into something special, where Rakeem Jarrett and Trey Palmer can be absolutely contributors for the future of the Buccaneers team. And I'm so proud of the Bucs organization. And I wanted to do this podcast because I wanted to make sure that Bucs fans knew what we have in a front office right now. It's one of the best in the NFL. You literally went to the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. The second year of Tom Brady, we should have gone to the Super Bowl, if not for a terrible defensive play. Then we still had a playoff run in Tom Brady's third year. And then when everyone picked us for 2 or 3 wins, what does Jason Light and his team go out and do? They get us to a 4th postseason run with a journeyman quarterback who's now signed for 3 years. And we now have 4 straight years of the postseason. As a Buccaneers fan since 1976, it's really hard to wrap my head around these stretches where we had 4 or 5 years of postseason run in a row. It's very rare, guys, for us. I'm hoping Baker Mayfield can repeat. I'm hoping that we're going to add some pass rushers. It looks like we're going to draft a pass rusher, but we also need to sign one. We need to sign a replacement for Davis as well. I think you can get a veteran off the street. But I'm so proud of the front office. I'm so proud of them re-signing our free agents. And I wanted to let them know that as a fan, that I appreciate the fact that they were one of the top 3 drafts with not just starts, but with production and an eye on the future. Because it's not just about drafting for now. It's about you need to draft a guy, let's just say Trey Palmer, where you drafted him, and if you hit on him, you've kind of figured out what you're going to do in free agency next year because you just took Evans. You know, you're not going to re-sign Godwin. I just don't see it under the salary cap. And you're going to have a backup. And then you go out and you get a guard like Cody Mock, you know, who's got some work to do. And I hope that when it comes to offensive guards, I trust Jason Light and tackles. He's probably the best in the NFL at finding these guys. The Ali Marpets of the world, the Kappas of the world, and now the Mocks of the world. He's probably one of the very best. He sees whatever he's looking at, because one day I'm going to talk to him about what he's looking at, but he sees something in these guys, and he's able to get them to come through and start for us. We consistently have an average to above average offensive line, even without putting a ton of money in it. And when we do put a lot of money in it, we have one of the top offensive lines in the league. So if you think about it, Hainsey, you know, was a guy that was a jack of all trades, you know, played some center, played some guard, played right tackle, and he started on, you know, 17 games plus two playoff games for us last year. So that was a find for us. And I know a lot of people want to upgrade him, including me, as far as I don't like the way he gets pushed off the line, but he's a solid starter in the NFL. So I'm going to continue. If we're going to be a run team, I just want to get more physical up front. Listen, this concludes the three top drafts of 2023. My next podcast, I promise you, won't be as rusty. I'm going to jump into quarterback breakdown. Then we're going to do wide receiver, running back breakdown, and tight ends. And then we're going to really get into the offensive lineman and defensive lineman, same podcast. We got some really great stuff. I have some really great research coming up on the quarterbacks. You guys are going to love it. Again, I'm going to tell you who my CJ Stroud is this year. And I'm going to let you in a little secret, right? I have scouted one player. And when I scouted this player, he continues to amaze me. And to the point to where he might be the greatest quarterback I've ever scouted. And I've been doing this since I was a kid. And I can tell you what, I've looked at John Elway. I've looked at Dan Marino, go all the way up to Peyton Manning, to Andrew Luck, to all the way through these guys. Justin Herbert, as you know, is my boy. I was all over Justin Herbert when people thought Tua was a better quarterback. I said, no, Herbert is better. He's a stud. I said CJ Stroud's a can't miss. He's a can't miss. Like, I'm good with these guys. There's something that I watch so much tape. I'm watching their rhythm. I'm telling you guys, you're in for a special treat with the QB breakdown. All right, visit us at BillCurry4.com. Go see us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, Instagram. Please check out our $12,000 off special on all remaining 2023s. Come see the Giant. Come see our new service department. It's the largest of its kind in the country. And the luxury that we can provide between our pickup and delivery service and our mobile is second to none. We have some really great managers right now. I'm very proud of them. And again, thank you for Joe Bucks fan. Thank you to the Curry family. And I want to shout out LJ at Big Storm. I hope you're doing well. I'll see you guys very soon.